What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, and today I'm dissecting the post-Drew Brees New Orleans Saints and what I'm expecting for fantasy. Let's talk shop. So, after a 20-year career, quarterback Drew Brees is finally calling it quits. The likely Hall of Famer was selected to 12 Pro Bowls in the 15 years that he spent in New Orleans, and was as bankable as they come, which naturally raises some questions about what we expect from the Saints offense in 2021 and beyond. Because the Saints offense, like a couple others, is one of those highly sought after hotbeds for fantasy production. And how much of that stands to change with a legendary quarterback hanging him up? Well, right off the top, before I talk about any of the Saints players, you got to understand that we're talking about Sean Payton here. Fantasy players like to talk about the Kyle Shanahans, the Sean McVays, now the Arthur Smiths coming to Atlanta. The OG coordinator hotness, a brilliant offensive mind, is Sean Payton, and it always has been. Payton has been the Saints head coach 14 years, and he's had the same offensive coordinator, Pete Carmichael, for 12 of those years. This team is always in the top 12 in pretty much any offensive category you throw at them. Always on the cutting edge, play design, play call, scheme, you name it. So while losing a quarterback as dependable as Drew Brees has been, may not be the hugest hit, especially these last couple years where Brees really hasn't been himself. He struggled with injury and you saw the arm start to tail off, and we've actually gotten a glimpse at what a post-Brees Saints offense would look like. And in a Sports Illustrated article by Albert Breer, which I'd recommend, it's a pretty good read, Payton does give a couple of mild nuggets about things that they may have taken for granted, where he described the offense as slightly more flexible without Brees than with him in it, which I don't think is a slight. I think it just means you maximize your player's skill set, and with a guy like Drew Brees, that was not ever going to be elite arm strength or scrambling ability or anything else that's potentially on the table for a quarterback these days. But even with the question marks of who's going to be under center for week one and beyond for the 2021 season, this is an elite situation, elite offensive mind, and Sean Payton's got his own Hall of Fame candidacy mostly finalized. As you saw with the Taysom Hill usage, even with Drew Brees healthy, he's not afraid to take risks. He's not afraid to try the next new thing. So even though he's not the new hotness, Sean Payton is still in the same breath with all of the top offensive minds in the league. You're not just here for me to talk about one of my favorite coaches. We're here to talk about the fantasy players. These are all Superflex Dynasty ADPs, by the way. Right off the top, running back Alvin Kamara going at 10.9 in sleeper ADP. He's fantastic. Alvin Kamara's per-touch efficiency is unmatched across all running backs over the past four seasons. There are only two other running backs that have had 80 receptions in four or more seasons, and those are Larry Centers and Marshall Faulk. He also led the 2020 Saints in all receiving categories except touchdowns. And of course, he adds plenty of value on the ground as well as a rusher. Now, the major knock I'm hearing on Alvin Kamara's draft stock is with Brees now gone, maybe those checkdowns will be less frequent because having a more mobile quarterback under center does, in theory, offer more scrambling opportunity rather than immediately needing to check the ball down to a mobile playmaker, which I think is a fair concern up front. But okay, maybe shave off some of those dump offs. The receiving game is an integral part of Alvin Kamara's game. It's not just going to go away. We're not going to all of a sudden not use one of the top five or eight best playmakers in the league as a receiver because our quarterback may be able to move a bit better now. He's going to be used. He's going to be featured. I'm not worried about the three-game sample size of Taysom Hill not targeting him as the starting quarterback. Sometimes those things happen. He ended up making up for it in that fourth and final game with Taysom Hill. I'm not throwing out 3 years of dominance over three games. But anyway, the other major one that I hear for Kamara is that he's turning 26 in July, which is also true. But again, look a little deeper. Yes, 25, 26 is starting to creep up in that scary age for a running back. You're kind of waiting for the production to drop off. But he almost has the same amount of career carries as Christian McCaffrey. And that's with Christian McCaffrey playing three games last year. So 26 is 26, but he's not had 4 years of grueling workload like someone like Ezekiel Elliott has had, who I would be very worried about age. Zeke, by the way, is third among running backs in carries since 2013, and running backs do wear down when they have that severe of a workload for that long, for that length of time. And Alvin Kamara does have some more mileage as a receiver, but it's not the same kind. He's not bruising his way between the tackles 20 times a game. He's averaging anywhere from 11 to 15 carries a game plus receiving work. So Alvin Kamara, in spite of his age, is not a guy I'm just expecting to drop off. So in the two stretches of play over the last two seasons without Drew Brees under center, there was a five-game stretch in 2019 and another five-game stretch this year. In 2019, weeks 3 through 7, Teddy Bridgewater targeted the running backs 41 times. That was fifth most in the league in that span. And in 2020, a modest 30 running back targets tied for 14th most in the league in that span. As I said, in 2020, he hit that three-game snag, but then had 10 targets versus Philly. Sean Payton has a long and rich history of targeting the running back position, whether it was Darren Sproles, Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, Mark Ingram, and now Alvin Kamara, you name it. Receiving backs are en vogue right now, largely in part Sean Payton's willingness to feature them in the game plan. So you can turn your nose up at a three-game sample if you want. I don't agree, but I would also say that New Orleans was also more run-heavy during that stretch with Taysom Hill this year as they were in the past. They were at 58% run, up from the 48.1% that they averaged on the year. And that's just a worst case, because people are freaking out about maybe Taysom Hill being the starter and not targeting Kamara so much. I don't even care who's under center. I don't care if it's Jameis. I don't care if it's Taysom Hill. And I don't care if it's Ian Book, the fourth rounder that they drafted this year. Checkdowns may be down. Maybe he doesn't hit 80 receptions for the fifth year in a row. But Alvin Kamara is still effectively the number two target in this offense behind Michael Thomas. He is every bit as good as Christian McCaffrey, despite the technicality of him being 1 year older. I don't hear anybody saying they're worried about Christian McCaffrey's age and workload and quarterback change. So I'm still very much in on Kamara as an elite fantasy option at the running back position. Similar story with Michael Thomas, 46.9 in sleeper. That's the tail end of the fourth round. I'm actually seeing him fall even farther, routinely into the sixth if we're talking startups. And I understand why. Absolutely cratered last season after a record-breaking 2019 season where he set the all-time receptions record with a PPR season for the ages. The crater that happened this year was almost entirely due to injury. He only played 7 games due to a high ankle sprain. And kind of like what I said about last episode with Antonio Gibson and the turf toe, high ankle sprain is one of those very humbling injuries. You can pretty much look up any fantasy player over the last 5 years that I can think of, and anytime you see high ankle sprain as a diagnosis, it's a very grim outlook for the rest of the season, and usually the production matches that. But he was able to get himself back on the field mid-season, and in those games, despite being hobbled, he, for the most part, was still pretty much Michael Thomas. Over 8 receptions and 80 yards in 3 of the final 4 games that he played, and that was with Taysom Hill, mind you, not Drew Brees. 8 receptions and 80 yards in 3 of the final 4 games that he played. So if he's back healthy, I'd expect him to be every bit of the fantasy stud that he's always been. And I think that distinction of him being good with Taysom Hill is important, right? Because we also have another small sample of the last season where Brees missed time and Michael Thomas played well with Teddy Bridgewater as well. Teddy Bridgewater, of course, is a very similar type of quarterback to what Drew Brees is, which is conservative, check down, don't make the wrong decisions kind of quarterback. And in those 5 games with Teddy Bridgewater last year, he was the WR1. So I think Michael Thomas's floor is very much intact. What I think people are missing with this late fourth, early fifth round ADP is the ceiling. Drew Brees' intended air yards per pass last year was 6.1. Only Alex Smith had a lower intended air yards among starting quarterbacks. And you saw that when they were on the field. Defenses didn't have to respect the deep ball. They were able to cheat down and play all the underneath stuff. It stalled out drives. And without Michael Thomas fully healthy, the Saints had to get way more creative with Alvin Kamara and different receivers. Now, if Jameis Winston is tabbed as the starter, Jameis Winston has averaged over 10 intended air yards per pass in Tampa Bay before he signed with the Saints last year, while Taysom Hill hit a respectable 7 intended air yards per pass. Obviously, as a Michael Thomas owner, you would prefer Jameis for the deep downfield passing. Say what you will about his inability to correct mistakes. He pushes the ball down the field. He's very aggressive. Tampa Bay wide receivers have been money for those reasons, even before Tom Brady got there. And even if it's Taysom that starts, point is both of these guys have arms that aren't attached to a 39-year-old veteran, which means more deep ball potential for the guy that a lot of people like to joke as Slant Boy. And if you're able to take Slant Boy and move him more outside because he's better able to be a vertical receiver because there's no physical limitations on the quarterback, Slant Boy may not be a very accurate moniker for him going forward. But he's still an elite receiver that I believe is being disrespected, falling as far as he is in drafts. Now, Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill going in the 12th and 14th rounds, respectively. Not nearly as much hype on these guys. There was initially, but both of these guys have been signed to low investment, high incentivized deals based on performance. And in that SI article, it is hinted at that Sean Payton could feature both of these quarterbacks at the same time. It's very possible that for what I would consider the first time ever, we might see a true quarterback by committee and not a week-to-week change like who matches up better against this team versus that team, but potentially on a snap-to-snap basis, who's in the red zone, who's better between the 20s, who's in on 2 minutes, which if you thought running back by committee can be frustrating at times, try doing that with a quarterback. So that's going to keep both of these guys relatively low as long as that's a legitimate possibility, which honestly it is. Regarding Jameis, he lives and dies by the sword, but as I said before, very aggressive passer, which New Orleans has lacked in these last few years of Breeze's twilight. So if Sean Payton can reel him in, teach him what a check down is, maybe not to make some crazy decisions and crazy throws that he does, he could end up doing really well. And Taysom Hill is pretty much the 1.0 of the new quarterback prototype that teams are starting to experiment with. In case you're not watching Saints games regularly, Taysom Hill is a quarterback, but spends a lot of time lining up all over the formation, lines up a lot as a tight end, both in line and in the backfield as a blocker. He's just kind of an X factor that they move all over the formation. And it has worked well in limited samples as a rusher, as a receiver, as a passer. But he hasn't yet shown to be the difference-making type of passer you would expect a starting quarterback to be. While it is possible that there's some kind of semblance of order as to what we expect each of these guys to do on a weekly basis, ultimately, if they're both involved this much, they probably cannibalize each other's value, preventing either of them being a QB2 outside of a major game. Now, if you're just looking at these guys pound for pound, Taysom Hill kind of seems like the odd man out here. Let's just say he is. Let's just say all of this quarterback by committee stuff is a load of crap and Jameis is named the week one starter. Taysom Hill goes back to spending a lot of his time as a tight end. And in the past, depending on which platform you play fantasy on, Taysom Hill has had tight end eligibility, which means he can be played in the tight end spot as well as the flex spot, even if it's not a super flex league. And that happened last year when he was named the starter. For at least one game, he was playable as a tight end on, I believe it was Yahoo, if I remember correctly. And that was kind of an unfair advantage that week. If he goes back to spending a healthy amount of snaps at the tight end position, I have a hunch that he could regain tight end eligibility. And the Saints ran multiple tight end sets 25% of the time last year. It wasn't exactly a sparingly used thing. He was on the field quite a lot. So a little bit of galaxy braining going on here, but it's very possible that Taysom Hill could hold some tight end value because he's included in all of the quarterback aspects of the game too. But whatever the case may be, this is going to be a camp battle that you have to monitor. You need to know who's going to be starting, who's going to be playing what role. If Jameis is named the starter, how long a leash does he have given his struggles in the past? How much can Taysom Hill encroach on that, or vice versa? And we're not going to have a definitive answer on that until we start seeing live snaps, hopefully by preseason, but usually preseason is just vanilla offense and defense anyway. The last pass catcher I'm going to touch on is Adam Trautman, Captain America himself. 172.8 on Sleeper, I think, is the 15th or 16th round. Way, way, way too low for Adam Trautman. Now, if that extreme case with Taysom Hill losing the job and being essentially the tight end one happens, that does cloud Trautman's upside. But under normal circumstances, he's the tight end one on paper. And Trautman is an athletic freak and a fantasy darling since he was drafted. During last year's draft, New Orleans traded all of their remaining picks, which ended up being their 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders, to trade up to draft Adam Trautman into the 3rd. So that's pretty significant draft capital, and it's something you have to pay attention to. Now, he's a workout warrior, but has mostly been a part-time player this far with the players that they've had, but the Saints parted with Jared Cook as well as Josh Hill in the offseason. And as I said, for Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, there just isn't a ton of notable options in the receiving core right now. Behind Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, you're looking at Tre'Quan Smith, who had a couple of moments. Emmanuel Sanders left in free agency as well. Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris. So there's room for a guy like Adam Trautman to establish himself. And for those of you who've been playing fantasy long enough to remember the dominance that was New Orleans Saints Jimmy Graham, the Saints are long removed from those days, but quite a few tight ends have moonlighted with some success in the Saints offense, namely Benjamin Watson, Dan Arnold for a brief moment, and most recently Jared Cook. And all of these guys were especially involved in the red zone. And speaking of the red zone, Jared Cook and Emmanuel Sanders are leaving behind a 16% target share each. Probably unrealistic for Adam Trautman to absorb all of that target share, but if you could get like a Mark Andrews light season out of Trautman, some big plays down the field, catching a seam ball here and there, a touchdown, and you can get that in the 15th or 16th round, that's money. Especially like in a tight end premium league if you play it. So Adam Trautman would be the guy I would bet on to establish himself as a 2B or a 3 in this offense. Maybe even more, who knows? So in closing, Kamara, stud. Lock it up. Another season of greatness on the horizon. Michael Thomas, major bounce back candidate, way too low right now. Quarterbacks, the Jameis Taysom potential committee approach. Unexciting, but you never know how things are going to shake out in a super flex, worth a stab where they're going right now. And Adam Trautman is one of my favorite late round tight ends for an offense that has very little established outside of their top two playmakers. Real quickly here, I just want to mention one more guy with an asterisk on his name, and that's Latavius Murray. Has been a solid journeyman back for a long time and has had some fantasy relevance even with Alvin Kamara. The caveat being that he is 31 years old and that the Saints could move on from him at some point this offseason. So the number two running back may not even be him. But what I do want is the number two running back in this offense. I'm not big into grabbing my handcuffs for my starting running backs, but in some offenses, including this one, the number two running back will have some standalone value on early downs and in the red zone. A couple of names I've heard floating around New Orleans camp are Stevie Scott and Tony Jones. Whoever it ends up being is worth that late round flyer. If you enjoyed, don't forget to like and share the show. Follow us on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. Hit up the reviews, hit up the comments. If you have show ideas or you have questions for me, hit me up at abstractdynastyff@gmail.com. And until next time, I'm out. Keep grinding.